Today, as week three of our relationship series, every year we do a relationship series. Relationships are such an important part of our lives, and the Bible's got a lot to say about that, so we love to dig into that each year. And every second year, maybe, and as being a pastor, I reckon it took me 15 years to really preach about what the Bible says about six. I've gone Kiwi. But now I'm kind of committed to every second year doing at least one Sunday morning and night where we talk about the Bible framework for sexuality. The world says a whole lot of rubbish about this. And so we want to actually align ourselves to what our Creator, the one who designed us, created us for, what He thinks about. So every second year, we're deep diving. All right. The title of my message is The Gift of Sex. As I just said, it's not an anatomy class, and it's not a marriage seminar. It's not a how-to, okay? And it's not, I'm not going to explain anything. However, I do want to recommend some great resources this morning. Are you ready? So, I'm going to be careful who I shout out here today, but for the very first time in church, we have Mr. and Mrs. Couchman online. So nice to have you, Toby and Ash. Here's some recommended resources. I've got six, if you're a Kiwi, I've got six recommended resources on six. And they'll come up on the screen. They're all about different topics. In a 30-minute message, we can't cover so much. So I want to give you really good resources to follow up. First one is, okay, having the talk with your children, parents. How do you do it? There's a book. I've spoken at a men's conference with a guy called Joel Chalaya, and he has written this great book called The Chat. So if you want a book that's going to help you to have the birds and the bees chat with your kids, and you just got to get ahead of the game, because if you don't, somebody's going to misinform them and poison them. So get ahead of the game. So that's The Chat, Joel Chalaya. We'll send this out via email during the week just to help you. If you're in the dating zone, Boundaries in Dating by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Great book to get your thinking right about the Bible way of dating. Boundaries in Dating with Henry Cloud and John Townsend. How to avoid toxic relationships. Okay, a new resource, one I've just come across, is called Breaking Up with Babel by a pastor in Byron Bay called Nikki Dent. Now, I'm actually speaking to pastors in New Zealand in a week or two through the week, and she's a co-speaker, and I just looked up her stuff, and it's brilliant. If I had teenagers, I'd be getting my teenagers watching her on Instagram and online and listening to her. Her content, she's a youth pastor for 10 years. Content is outstanding in a cool way. Also got resources for youth, workbooks for young people to get a Bible framework without it being fuddy-duddy. Okay, Nikki Dent. Okay, if you're married and you want to have great sex, Sheet Music by Kevin Lehman. Sheet Music by Kevin Lehman. Get a hold of that. Don't order it during church right now, though. This is not the time to go on Amazon and buy it all up. Okay, the next two. So all just different topics, and there's lots of them, but I'm just giving some that I highly recommend. Next one is particularly for men who have been gripped by pornography and a pornography addiction. It's a book called Clean by Douglas Weiss. So highly recommend. I've heard great things about it. This guy's a long-term psychologist who came out of addiction himself and helps men particularly, and there's also some great women's resources, get free from the grip of pornography. And the last one is a book that I've had for years. It's called On the Threshold of Hope by Dr. Diane Langberg, and it's for people who have actually been victims of sexual abuse and want to begin or help in the journey of coming out of the pain and the destruction of what sexual abuse has done in their life. So she's a Christian psychologist, world leader on this area. And that's six books I recommend, particularly on that last topic of finding healing and restoration after sexual abuse at some point in your life. We did an interview with a Christian media personality, Dave Adamson. It's on our church YouTube, so you can look that up. And again, for many people, the statistics of people who have experienced abuse is horrifying. And so the likelihood that the church is no different in terms of people who have grown up in the world So we need to address this stuff. So I interviewed him, and it's a great, just the starter of his journey. Also today, I just want to shout out a great guy in our church called Des Bowman, who years ago began the journey of getting free and clean and healed from sexual abuse as a child, written a number of books and speaks on it. So Des, I want to honor you just for the great work you've done in that area and leaning in. All right, so there's six on six for you today to get us started. This is the day. Dan Frecker, he's the king of feedback, Dan, there in Melbourne. Dan, he's always giving feedback, so good, etc. You'll hear that if you're anywhere near Dan. Now, sometimes, to our amusement, he says it at the wrong time. Sometimes he's just tuned out and just says it because he's great at giving feedback. I've heard a testimony where someone's giving their testimony and they said, "Oh, I was addicted to alcohol at 15 years old." And Dan goes, "So good." So what I know what you're doing, Dan. You're encouraging them for their authenticness and their realness and what Jesus has done. But can I suggest to everybody today, it's a day for feedback, but at the right moment. Okay, at the right moment. All right. So just to help you out, Melbourne, come with us on this journey. So I've got three main points that we're going to talk about God's perspective around sex. I'll tell you what they are in advance, and then we're going to kind of lean into them. The first is sex is our Creator's sacred gift. That's a good moment to say so good.
So good.
So good. All right. That's the first one. The second point is this: God designed sex for marriage between a man and a woman.
So good.
So good. Yep. So you're doing really great so far. And the third one, and this is a so bad: the devil wants to distort sex.
So bad.
So bad. Okay. So you're doing really well today, church. So let's have a look at this. Sex is our Creator's sacred gift. Now, we cannot talk about sex and God's design for sex without recognizing that in this room and online, and people will listen to this message later, those of us in Melbourne today, we are all going to have different worldviews around sex based on our experience, our upbringing, what we've been told. Maybe it's been good, maybe it's been bad, maybe it's been destructive. And so even talking about this for some people can be a trigger and bringing pain. It can be a trigger because of isolation and loneliness. It can be a trigger because of things that have happened. And I want you to know today, my intention is not to trigger, but my intention is that we get a worldview that lines up with God. And out of that comes hope and healing and the joy that God wants us to have. So if we don't know this first thing, sex is our Creator's sacred gift, we're going to be starting out from the wrong place. So it is our Creator. God created our anatomy. So good. Thank you very much. There we go. This is just a few statements to jump on board with. Our libido or sex drive is part of His design. Amen. He created feel-good chemicals to be released during touch and sexual arousal.
So good.
So good, he did. Wait for this one. He is the designer of the orgasm.
So good.
So good. All right, Melbourne, are you with us right now? It's God's idea. He created this. He created this. He's not surprised by it. It's not dirty. It's not gross. It's God's it's His gift. It's sacred, but it's His gift to us. In the words of Jesus, okay, Jesus spoke about this, quoting the Old Testament, Matthew 19. "Haven't you read the scriptures about creation?" Jesus replied. "The Creator, God, made us male and female from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and live with his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Okay, that's code for sexual intercourse. That's what's happening there. "From there on, they're no longer two, but they're united as one." Now, that's not just physically. Now, there's both a soul and spiritual connection that happens through sexual intercourse. "So what God unites, let no one divide." So one flesh. When God created Adam and Eve, His first command to them was, get at it, kids. That's my paraphrase. Be fruitful and multiply. So it's like you guys are created to be one flesh. So I've got to say, the Garden of Eden, there was a lot of one fleshing going on. A lot of one fleshing. Because it was God's design. It was God's creation. In my mind, one of the greatest arguments against atheism and evolution is sex. I mean, that couldn't just happen. It's awesome.
So good.
Someone had to design it. I'm going, that'll get me saved every day of the week. Come to Jesus. Magnificent. All right. It's awesome. I've got so many jokes that I'm not going to put in today. I promised Danielle I'd be on my best behavior. All right. God created sex as a gift with a purpose. It's a gift for us with a purpose. The purpose is pleasure. One of the books that we read about sex before we got married was a book called Intended for Pleasure. It was a Christian book. It was awesome. So it was intended for pleasure. God created sex for procreation. That's the multiplication part. God created sex for intimacy and emotional connection in a marriage. Intimacy, emotional connection. He created sex to be the glue of a marriage, the relational glue. He created sex to unite us spiritually. From then on, they're no longer two, but they're united as one. Sex is celebrated in the Bible. It's celebrated. I'm not going to read you all the verses because we'd make each other flush, have a red flush or whatever it is today. Red flash, something anyway. We'd get embarrassed. However, not a hot flush. Song of Solomon is a whole book in the Bible that's dedicated to the romantic, erotic relationship between the king and his wife, a young lover. It's so R-rated that English translations have struggled to translate it from the Hebrew. It starts out with this, the most amazing song of all, Song of Songs 1:1-2, by King Solomon. And then the Shulamite woman, this is the one. Let him smother me with kisses, his spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, I drink them in like the sweetest wine. So it goes on and says, take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his chamber or his bedroom. It goes on. I think if we were to rename Song of Solomon these days, we'd call it Get a Room. come on, you guys, just get a room. And it talks about getting a room a whole lot. So it's like the celebration. Sex is God's idea. It's not dirty. It's not shameful. It's his gift. And it's sacred. That's the first point. Can someone give me an amen? Sex is our creator's sacred gift. All right, number two. God designed sex for marriage between a man and a woman. All right, now, I'm going to make it real easy today. There will be no turn to the neighbor and say this. Just, I'm going to save us all that embarrassment, all right? So only just feedback. You don't even have to make eye contact with your neighbors. Husbands and wives, you can squeeze each other's hands right now, all right? Bible often uses the analogy of sex or sexual desire and compares it to a fire. God's created us with a sexual desire and it burns on the inside. And so, you know, there's times, Proverbs 6 warns us, for a prostitute will bring you to poverty, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Another version says, can he do that and not get burned? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? In the New Testament, Paul writes and says, you're better to get married than to burn and not be able to contain it. So the sexual desire that God created us with is like a fire on the inside. You'll hear people turn about when they're aroused, their engines running. That's the way God wired us. It doesn't mean you're a sinner, that you've got sexual desire. It means you're just a human being. However, if we understand this is like fire, I'm going to show you some pictures. This is what Danielle was worried about. These are okay. These are some pictures. The first one is a picture of a fireplace. Can we put that up? A beautiful fireplace. It's contained. It provides warmth. It provides light. It's awesome. Let's go to the next photo. It's a fire pit. And so a fire pit, it's awesome. It's a place of connection. It's a place of warmth. It's contained. And when God created you and I with a sexual desire like a fire on the inside, he knew that the best place for that would be to be in a contained place. A safe place, because if a fire gets out of a safe, confined place, what happens? Things get burnt. Houses burn down. That's the next fire. This is what happens when fire is not contained. When fire gets out of a safe boundary, people get hurt. People get burnt. No No control, no boundary, no places of safety, and what's intended to bring warmth and light becomes destructive, becomes damaging, becomes hurtful. That's why, again, I'm going to refer back to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and live with his wife. That's the first thing about the Bible imperative, a man and a woman get married. The two will become one flesh, that sexual intercourse. And from then on, they're no longer two, but they're united as one. And so what God unites, let no one divide. Right there, we get what God's designed boundary is for the fire of sexual desire. The boundary God's created is a man and a woman in a covenant of commitment. So a lifetime commitment, which we call marriage. Marriage is not a social construct. It's a Bible construct. It's something that God designed right from the beginning of time. And then it's undivided. It's a lifetime that no one divided. This is the boundaries that God has created for the healthiest place to have great sex that's not destructive or damaging. Now, the world wants us to think that's unrealistic, that that's boring, that that's prudish, that that's outdated. That's what the world wants us to think. The world wants us to think that Christians and God's idea about sex is just, it's just repressed Christians, it's unhappy people, it's oppressed people who are not having any fun. That's what the world wants to tell us. That's the lies. But that's not what God, our designer, tells us. In fact, can I just share some research about this with you? Who wants to hear some research? I think you're going to love this. The Wheatley Report analyzed data in 11 different countries, including the United States, and it found that the religious dosage, the level of a couple's religious involvement, plays a key role in sexual satisfaction. According to the analysis, moderately religious women were 50% more likely to report being sexually satisfied in their relationship than women with no religious practice. Women who are highly religious, this is how they define it, pray together, read scripture together, and attend church together, were twice as likely as their secular peers to say they were satisfied with their sexual relationship. The men in these couples were four times likely to being sexually satisfied as men in relationships with no religious activity. This is comprehensive research. Okay, the most comprehensive sound sex study ever done about consistent church attendees found that the more that someone went to church, the more frequent and intense their orgasms. Someone say, so good. So good. You didn't see that coming, did you? Even more exciting, those who attend church more than once a week, it gets better. I can see you now, fellas, on Tuesday night before revival prayer going, honey, oh, we need to get to church twice this week because I've done the research and this is going to be great for us. And it's at 6:30 to 7, so hey, we've got the night anyway. I just see it working for you. So don't believe the lie that those out there are having a better time than you in here. Don't believe the lie that free sex and no boundaries is not burning anybody and they're having better sex than you and I. Those who are committed to God's ways with that fire on the inside, we're having the best sex, baby. Come on, somebody. Somebody say you're so good. All right. Are we doing good today? I'm having fun. I don't know about you. All right, number one, sex is our Creator's sacred gift. Number two, God designed sex for marriage between a man and a woman. That's the boundary that God designed it for. I don't have time to go into so many other research and stats, just reconfirming that. The third thing is this, the devil wants to distort sex. The devil, that is so bad. The devil wants to distort. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. That includes the way God designed us sexually. The devil wants to come and distort it. He wants it to become destructive. He wants it to become damaging. He wants to damage your soul. He wants to damage your confidence. He wants to damage your image of men or your image of women. He wants to distort it. Ultimately, he wants it to become something that causes pain in relationships and turns people away from God and each other. That's what the devil wants to do. There are a whole lot of evil spirits that attach to this beautiful thing that God intended for pleasure in a safe place that are trying to pervert it. And so I want us to think of it like this in two ways. There's two ways the devil will distort sex. One, he'll distort it with lust. And the other, he'll distort it with legalism. With lust or with legalism? Lust. Lust is, now we're in a society where that promotes a culture of hookups, swipe right. We're in a society that has gender distortion, sexual confusion. There's a lot of lies propagated by the media, propagated by social media. The porn industry is one of the largest industries in the world. It's about making money and tapping into this sexual desire that we have, but to distort it. The devil wants to get on it and to ruin us. The world has swallowed the devil's lies, and many people don't realize it until it's too late. Just like bait on the hook. It looks good, it tastes good, but eventually that hook gets into a fish and it ruins it. And ultimately the appeal of sex, because sex is awesome, it's fun, it's a great experience. And so the appeal of sex can lure people in, and the idea of free sex can lure people in, but then we get hooked. And it becomes damaging and destructive, if not to us, eventually to others around about us. And horrific things are done when sex is perverted and distorted, damaging many people. So the lies of lust. Here's some of the lies that the devil tries to tell our young people, tries to tell us today, that sex is just a physical act. It's just a physical act. It's not more than that. That's a lie. Devil wants to tell us that it's not emotional, there's no soul involved. That's a lie. That it's not spiritual. It is spiritual. The two become one. Every time a person sleeps with somebody else, we give away a little bit of our identity and a little bit of our soul. Sex creates a spiritual bridge for whatever issues a person has is going to get on you from them. The demons will literally travel across the bridge that's created by becoming one. If you're sleeping with a person who's got depression one week and a person with anxiety the next week, guess what? Those two things are going to get on you. That's the lie that it's just physical. It's not just physical. The lies of the devil is if it feels good, just go for it and do it. That there's no consequences for my sexual actions. That God just wants to stop you having fun and living your best life. No, he doesn't. He just wants this in a boundary. The lies of the devil is that sexual conquest is just a rite of passage. It's just something that everybody goes through. That's a lie from the devil. The lie of the devil is pornography is of no damage to us. It's okay, and everybody's doing it. And maybe it'll enhance your sex life. And you're prudish if you won't accept that. Combine the fire of untamed sex drive, so sex drive that doesn't know boundaries, and perverse evil spirits, put those things together, and eventually you have destruction and devastation. Families get destroyed, individuals get destroyed, houses burn down because the boundary that God intended, the boundary of marriage, is ignored. Let me just touch for a couple of moments on one aspect of that. And there's, again, lots of different stuff. But the idea, we're in a society where I think it's around 12, our kids are being bombarded in the media with pornography. It's like as a parent, it's a constant war to try and protect our kids from seeing stuff. And then the idea, because this industry, alongside of the devil, wants to get people hooked. Wants to get people actually addicted to the high of arousal. And eventually the problem with that is the high of arousal, the dopamine hit that we get that God created us with to make sex enjoyable, but then it has this false outlet with pornography, and the high of that arousal, after a while, it's not as high as it used to be, so then people start looking for something a little more kinky, a little more weird to kind of get that same high. That's the danger of pornography. So here's just a few stats from research. Men who use porn report decreased sexual interest in their girlfriend or wives. That's most men who do that. 75% of married porn addicts will virtually stop having sex with their spouses. 75%. The lie was it'll enhance. The truth is it destroys. Actually, there's a condition that a lot of young men are facing these days is because they can only now get turned on through watching erotic porn that they have erectile dysfunction as a result of being addicted to porn. Their sex life actually is only able to be lived out in their head in fantasy land, and that stops emotional connection. Being married to a porn viewer doubles your odds of depression. That's what research says. A porn viewer, male or female. When a woman marries a man who views porn, she will generally experience 43% reduction in self-esteem. That's statistically what research is saying. Now, traditionally, pornography has been a challenge for men because men are more visually oriented when it comes to sexuality, but this current generation and what's out there is making pornography a challenge for women, and the same effects happen to women. It's a fire that destroys. Porn creates, this is research, it creates aggressive and violent tendencies in sexual behavior. It creates unrealistic expectations of what a true, healthy, loving, caring, caressing sexual relationship looks like, and it destroys relationships. That's just one of the lies that the devil is propagating around sexuality that you and I can swallow. That's one side. That's the lies of lust. The other side is the lies of legalism. This is the church has screwed this up. The church has kind of gone, well, and this is what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 3. If the devil, and this is my thinking, if the devil can't get you stuck with lust, then he'll get you stuck with legalism. 1 Timothy, Paul, it's getting heavy in here, isn't it? We're doing okay. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. Okay, so there's a demons propagate their doctrine, not God's doctrine, but their doctrine. And here's one of the doctrines of demons. I'm not going to go on beyond. Oh, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That means my conscience has been ruined, so I think what's good is bad. That's what a seared conscience does. That's what the devil does to our conscience. Forbidding to marry. So if lust is like sex is everything, sex is going to, it's the answer to all your problems. More sex with as many people as you can. That's what lust says. Legalism says sex is bad. It's dirty. It's wrong. It's gross. Legalism says the pastor should never even be talking about sex. In fact, legalism says if you want to be a real pastor, you shouldn't even be having sex with your wife. You shouldn't be married. Deal breaker for me. Thank God for C3. Hallelujah. Just saying. And lots of other evangelical churches. Here's the problem. When you start thinking that sex is evil and you'll please God by not even getting married, that's legalism. And the fruit of legalism and actually trying to squash this sex desire, it's in there, right? That's why Paul says some people are called to be celibate for the call of God. It's a calling. There's a grace. There's a gift. The fire is not going to burn the house down, okay? But I think that's the exception, and it's an opt-in. That's where someone should go, hey, I'm called to be a missionary and I'm happy with being single and I'm making that choice to be single. But the moment religion says to be useful for God, you must be single, we are quashing a God desire, and that desire, it's going to come out. Yeah. It's going to come out in all the wrong ways. And we're living in the aftershadow of an epidemic in Australia and globally where religion squashed sex in marriage, and therefore it came out in abuse in all sorts of different ways. Right. And it's wrong. So ultimately, a great Christian who knows the Bible should be able to say sex is a gift from God. It's a creative gift from God. It's part of His design for us. It's designed to be enjoyed within the boundary of a lifelong commitment called marriage. There's so much joy, and it's not the cake, it's the icing on the cake. It's the glue of the relationship, but it's intended to glue us together. And those of us who understand why God designed it can enjoy that and go, that's awesome. We can laugh and smile and not let it be perverted or not let it be distorted. And we don't have to believe the lies of lust, and we don't have to believe the lies of legalism, but we can enjoy the blessing of God. Sadly, there'd be no doubt in my mind that people here today, people in Melbourne, people online, you've been burnt either because lust got out of control in someone's life and it burned you, someone had an affair, someone abused you, there's some lack of control in your world, pornography's got a grip in your life or in someone that you love, and so either that's burned you or you've been burned as a recipient of someone's abuse. And I mean, firstly, if it's happened from a Christian or a pastor or a priest, I'm sorry. Honestly, that is so far from the heartbeat of God. So far, it's a disgrace, it's an abomination, and we just can't pretend it's not. It is. The good news in Jesus is that there is healing from whatever's happened in our life. There's healing. The healing journey for an abuse victim is painful, but ultimately you get your power back, you get your life back, and it's worth going on that journey. And today, if that's you, I recommended that book earlier. The two things I'd recommend, if either the distortion of sex has gripped you with lust and addictions or damage in your relationships or abuse, you need to start to get help, start to talk about that. I would suggest if you've been abused to start to talk to a pastor, get a referral for a Christian counselor, and we can help connect you with someone who will help you on that journey. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but it's going to ultimately be way better than where you are right now. There is healing in Jesus. If you're in the grip of addiction to pornography or sexual relationships or haven't dealt with a string of sexual partners behind you that either you've been the perpetrator or you've been a victim of somebody else just notching you up on their belt, there is healing, and the love of God can come and bring restoration to your soul. And I want to pray for that right now. Can we close our eyes? Father, I thank you. You're a good God, a great creator, wise, powerful. And I pray today that we would have your mindset about sex and our sexuality. Lord, where there's pain, I'm praying for you, Melbourne, right now, where there's pain because of abuse, give us the courage to bring it into the light, to receive your love, and to begin to heal. Lord, for those who are already down the pathway of the journey of healing, keep bringing healing and health and strength, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, where lust has taken over lives and distorted sex, we repent. We're going to bring it into the light so that fire doesn't burn us, get out of control. We want to live and honor you the way that you intended. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power, for your love and your blessing. In your mighty name, amen.